Welcome to Think Like a CEO, where we discuss business, life, and leadership lessons with Gary Keller, CEO and Chairman of Keller Williams Realty. I'm your host, Jay Papazian. On today's episode, we'll talk about what it means to be digital and connected during these times of change. All right, Gary, this episode's all about be digital and connected. Give us the CEO's mindset around this.
Yeah, you know, Jay, a CEO looks out over the landscape and always asks the question, where are things going? And they're looking for the biggest view, the biggest answer they possibly can get. And in our world today, that answer is a resounding be digital and be connected.
I love it. I love it. Let's tackle be digital first. Sure. This is a conversation we've been having in your company now for 5 years.
Yeah, at least.
That's right. You've been preaching it in some ways to get everybody's mindset to pivot from being a physically based to a digitally based. Just give us that in a really high level. I would love that.
Sure. So, you know, I think it's pretty well understood today that we're in the fourth industrial revolution, right? We're in the technology platform revolution. Question is, what technology are you using / building to run your business on, right? And it has to be the same platform for you to provide services to your consumer, meaning that it's not two different pieces of software. The revolution, the fourth industrial revolution is the platform revolution. And it's the revolution of everything is run on a platform. And the reason is so that they're connected. So this be digital and be connected has multiple meanings for us, you know, in this episode. The first one is be digital and be connected digitally.
Right.
And that means build your business on a platform. And, you know, the way you've heard me describe this is that there's a battle going on between the physically based and the digitally based. The digitally based business wakes up every day and it asks the question, what's the least I can do digitally in order to protect and preserve my physical foundation?
So that's the physical based. I think you said the digital based. So the physically based business says, what's the least I can do digitally to protect my physical position?
Yeah, sorry. That's right. That's exactly right. Yep. And the digitally based business wakes up every day and says, what's the least amount I can do, I have to do physically in order to kick your digital butt? So you have this battle going on between the physical business mistakenly trying to do the least digitally, and you have the digital business trying to do the least physically. Well, let me just say that the digital based is going to win every time. In the fourth industrial revolution, it's going to win every time. And trying to hang on to this idea that you're a physically based business in a digitally, what is becoming a digitally based world, is something you just have to address. Now, let me say something. Just having been sequestered or sheltered in my home the last 30 days has pointed something out very clear to me. It is not a digital world. Mm-hmm. It is a digitally based, physically enhanced world. This idea of going 100% digital is not real. It is not real. From an operational standpoint, it's not real. And in fact, even in providing services and value to people, what we're already beginning to see is the manifestation of digital based and physically enhanced. That's actually the winning sweet spot of value and service to others is in that combination. So it's what we know is that the best businesses of the future, particularly in the environment that we're currently in, is a seamless blend of the two. The best businesses of the future are going to be the perfect blend or the best blend, excuse me, between physical and digital. And there's a race, Jay. There's a race that's going on right now. And that's this. It's how fast can the incumbent who has the market share, how fast can they build the digital platform versus how fast the disruptor with a digital platform can gain market share. So this battle is going on whether you realize it or not as a business person. It's happening and it's a race. And it's how fast can the person who currently has the customers build a digital experience to go with their physical experience versus how fast can the disruptor who has the digital experience go get your customers?
What was really interesting is having had this conversation with you for literally years now, as we've been, you know, as you disrupted your own company and went from physical to digital, this virus situation, that race changed dramatically. Because if you were a physical-based business and you didn't have a website or a way for people to order and have it delivered, right, you were scrambling, and your customers might be moving to that digital platform that they never would have considered. You know, I'm a restaurant, but why are my customers ordering from Blue Apron? They would have never done it, but now they're getting this lead on the market share. But you still have a chance. If you pivot and you do it, you go all in, you can still win those customers because they're going to want that physical experience too. That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah, a lot of people say, "Oh, did I really need Grubhub?" And all of a sudden, with this pandemic, Grubhub is the perfect platform to help the restaurant industry stay in business. So the restaurant industries might have seen them as a blight, right? Someone who just took money from them. Mm-hmm. Now they realize, as Grubhub goes out and champions the idea of help the restaurants, you realize that the investment in a platform wasn't a bad idea, right? Zoom's another good example, right? We all used Zoom in a variety of ways, and it worked for us. Then all of a sudden, we got told, you will not meet in person. You will go 100% digital right now. And then we looked up and we went, wow, that company was perfectly poised, wasn't it?
Oh yeah, they grew. I mean, the last time I looked, they'd grown by almost 240% since this crisis came on. They were well positioned to capture the meeting room is temporarily dead, and they became the virtual meeting room, the digital meeting room.
And I don't even know if they're the best, Jay. What I know is that they had the fastest, most frictionless experience, so they jumped in the lead.
Yeah.
But they were there, they were operating, and I think it even caught them by surprise, because here's what we know about business. And that is, if you're going to make giant leaps in your business, you're either going to have to create a product or a service that you timed it perfectly and it disrupts the world and the world wants it, or that the world ends up sliding backwards. And in the process, what you were doing allows you to pivot forward. So you grow either because you did something that caused a disruption in the universe that allowed you to jump forward or leap forward, or your competitors leapt backwards.
That's right.
And yeah.
And we're seeing that in so many businesses. Like, I was reading about the auto industry, and you know, you think about going to buy a car, you go to a big showroom, which is completely off limits now. And there's some of the first people to pivot with these auto dealers. They had to come up with a virtual showroom. They had to come up with a way, if you had to buy a car right now, how can I experience that? They can deliver it to your curb safely so that you can, like, how do you do that? And they're having to pivot really quickly, because otherwise they could lose potential market share to someone who was already in that space.
Jay, any CEO or leader who'd been looking out into the future and had realized that we were in the fourth industrial revolution and the platform war was on, and began to invest their money in that platform, finds themselves today with an unfair advantage.
Mm-hmm.
Because the other businesses that didn't do that are scrambling to try to understand, how do we get our product or service to our customers digitally? How do we actually pull our workforce together digitally? How do we operate digitally at an advantage? Mm-hmm. Not just to get by or survive, but how do we do this in a manner that actually gives us an advantage? And the ones that have the advantage are the ones that invested money in trying to figure out how you be digital.
Well, what's funny is we've asked the question together. It's like, what's going to change now that won't change back? And I think as CEOs of our businesses, we're looking up and we're asking the question, maybe I didn't have a digital competitor that had an unfair advantage. Can I go claim that unfair advantage? And maybe I can be that new service that just persists. We were looking, I think there were like 9 unicorns that were born in the Great Recession. So some of the things that are going to happen right now are going to persist well beyond just a, it's not a temporary thing. It might be a permanent thing.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. Well, the other side of this is not only be digital, and that's the world we live in, but also be connected, right? And that is be connected to the people you work with and the people that you work for, right? Staying in touch with them on a regular basis. It's a fundamental mandate for any successful business, right?
Well, that's always the case, but it's especially true today. You know, if you weren't regularly having conversations with your customers, I mean, you used to always talk about, was it Walton, management by walking around? He'd go work a register in one of the stores. He wanted to be close to the front lines to know what is the experience we're delivering. So he would always know if that was moving, right? Is the landscape, you started with, where are things going? One of the ways you find out is by talking to your people and your customers.
Yeah. And it's by the way, when we say be connected, and you said it, it's be connected to your employees or your independent contractors, right? Your people, and also with your customers. So it's actually knowing your people and knowing your customers, right? Knowing your people, knowing what's going on with them so you can understand where they are and, you know, what they need.
Yeah.
And then it's knowing your customers, right? Knowing what's going on with them. So you can understand where they are and what they need. Knowing your customers is going to let you know that the market is changing before anything else. They're going to telegraph to you what's going on. If you're connected to them, right? You'll see the change. You and I know this. We've witnessed it. Well, we wrote a book, years ago called Shift. And one of the things that we tried to drive home was the people that are the most connected to their customers are the ones that see the shifting patterns or the pivoting patterns faster than anyone else.
Well, it was funny that there's a case study within a case study. That book we published in 2008, which is the year most people say the Great Recession happened. But because you always are masterminding with your top people, at the fall of 2005, what do we hear? Our top people who were connected to their customers, they said, showings are dropping off. There was this canary in the coal mine. And because I've had people ask, like, how did y'all write a book in time before it even happened? Well, no, we were actually connected to our customers that told us it was happening.
Because we saw it in the last quarter of 2005.
Yeah.
We saw it. I remember the meeting.
Oh, I remember who said it. Showings are dropping off. And that sparked this conversation that changed everything.
That's right. And we took aggressive behavior in 2006, way ahead of what they call was the actual Great Recession. We were way ahead of that, which is why the book was way ahead of that as well. The thinking was way ahead of that. And it's the same again in our business, just as an example. We saw 5 years ago that the world was changing. You could see it now, right? We were behind the world, but we were not behind our industry.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had examples to follow, and we realized that we had to build our own platform. We could not go rent it, because when you rent it, you've lost control of creativity and you've lost control of costs. And so we knew we had to build it. And just to be honest with you, we had a really brilliant individual named Josh Team that was in our organization that was whispering it, then he was speaking it, and then it was yelling it, right? Mm-hmm. You were there. And he got our attention. And we looked up and went, he's right. He's absolutely right. This is what needs to happen. And we moved on that. And to be honest with you, when you're a first mover in anything like that, the rest of the world isn't along with you, which means they usually don't just jump on board with what you're doing. My response has always been, when you've done your homework and what you've personally experienced tells you that you're right and the world tells you you're wrong, it means that you're ahead of them.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
And that's it. They'll say that you're taking risk or whatever, and actually you're trying to avert risk. That all comes from this idea of being a connected leader, right? I mean, that's what I'm hearing. Like, I'm not only connecting with my people and I'm connecting with my customers, that allows me to stay connected to where the market is and where it's going. That allows me to lead effectively so that we can do the right things in the right time.
That's exactly right. What we're talking about is there is an unfair advantage that comes from being connected that goes beyond providing better services, better support. Right? or better value. It actually, the benefit is it tells you what the next value should be, what the next product or service should be, and aims you in that direction ahead of everyone else, right?
And
so here's a bigger question, and that is, how do you stay connected, Jay?
Well, I think to be really prescriptive, and what we're telling our people is you're getting out there and you're having two-way conversations any way you can. Now, you can't go and knock on someone's door and deliver, you know, something, because you can't do that safely, but you can text them, you can call them. And I emphasize the word two-way, Gary, because if you can't have a conversation with them talking back, you're getting no feedback. I don't know about you, but my email box has been flooded with one-way communication on how to make it through this thing. But I've had a couple of key people, relationships, my CPA and our publisher, that reached out very specifically and started a conversation about what this meant for us in our relationship. And they stand out. I mean, they just stand out. And we talk about, if the market drops, it almost never goes to zero, right? In almost any market situation, it doesn't go to zero. But if you're on the front lines connecting, you can get your unfair share. There's fewer motivated customers. There's fewer customers that have to act, but you can be the first one. And an example of this, our friend James Shaw, who's leading a book club around our last book, Shift, he was sharing with me, he had a friend that ran a catering company and thought, oh my gosh, we're dead. We're dead in the water. And he said, no, go call your customers. This is what we're telling our people, to go call them, get on the phone, check in with them. It's a care call. Gary, how are you doing? How are you holding up? The conversation will progress. Guess what he found out? He calls, of course, they don't need catering services. They don't need catering services. And he's not selling. He's calling out of caring. One of his customers has a wife that worked in a hospital. Guess what they needed? They had to close their catering service within the hospital and they needed help. And he got one of the only catering contracts in town because he didn't assume that his business was dead. He went out and connected and found the limited business that was there. I just love that story.
That's right. So absolutely. This isn't a new conversation. It like you said, it
should always be doing it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that is, you call them, you text them, you email them, you snail mail them, you blog them, you Facebook, you Instagram, your podcast, your webinar, your Zoom. And when you can, you meet, right? The point is that you have all of these tools at your arsenal in order to connect. Choose your weapons, choose your implements, if you will, and get after it. Go connect with people and have a systematic way that you do it so that no person is left behind. The number one thing, like in our industry, right? Number one thing you do right now is you get on the phone and you ask people, how can I help you? The mantra is service first, sales second. Mm-hmm. That means get out, get connected, and ask people how you can help. In our industry, if you can't sell them a home today or help them sell their home today, by the way, maybe you can help them refinance. Maybe you can help them save money on their insurance.
Maybe you can connect them with the vendor. They're stuck in their house. They know exactly what they want to fix today, right? So maybe you can connect them with another service that has nothing to do with selling their home today.
Yeah. Or maybe you could just help them plan the future and begin to think of things differently than they are today. And sometimes just the voice on the other end, right? Or the message on the other side that simply says, hey, you're not alone. I'm with you. I appreciate your business. And if I could be of help to you right now, I'd like to be of help to you. And what you're saying, what you said earlier is, how many are actually doing that, right? I mean, if in fact people understood what you and I are talking about, my email would be so thick I couldn't even get through it.
Yeah, you'd have my text messages and phone calls. And we both have multiple businesses, right? With all these connections. Gosh. And I've had two that stand out in my mind.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, here's the trick. The point is that, you know, put your mask on first and then put the mask on the person beside you, right? So make sure you're okay. But the second that you believe you've secured that as a business person, you got to help others, right?
Love that.
And so find a way to connect, and you do this one-on-one and you do this in groups, right? Pulling people together if you need to, dealing with them one-on-one if you need to. Shoot, you could Like in our industry, real estate industry, you could be the one that sponsors, you know, a happy hour every day at 5 o'clock for the neighborhood, for everyone to just check in on neighbors in one, you know, Zoom location, if you will. And for 30 minutes, you know, just hang out. How is everybody doing? How are you doing? Right.
A friend of mine runs has always had a digital business, right? They've only had independent contractors, a couple of employees, and they've always been on Zoom. That's just the way their business was born, a young business. One of the first pivots she did was to reach out and say, if you are struggling to run a digital business, we'll hold a free webinar for you and just show you how we do it, right? They found a source of pain in their customer base and said, not even one-on-one, we'll deliver this new service to you. And my conversation with her, I was like, Catherine, that might be a whole new business model for you. She goes, I know, because a lot of people need it right now. But for now, we're just reaching out to help. And our friend Abe put it really well to me when he was coaching me. He said, the conversations we have in the next 90 days will determine who they want to do business with when this is over. So that service first, sales second attitude matters so much.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, I think you're the one that told me the story of a great idea, like for the neighborhood, you know, happy hour once a week or whatever, where everyone was asked to go around their house and pick out something that was memorable to them or that meant something to them or that anyone who came in their home thought was interesting and come back and tell us that story.
It brings some intimacy to it. It was actually Meredith who's on our team who did that with her team. But it's a lot. You do a couple of virtual happy hours or coffee hours or whatever it is for you and staring at a bunch of faces, you better have a program. And just that was a fun activity that people got to talk with pride about the Scrabble board hanging on their wall and what was that all about, right?
So when you stay connected, right, you pick your tools, whether it be a phone call, a text, or whatever that is. And then you make sure that you do it one-on-one and then you do it in groups when it makes sense. And last, you do it consistently. You create a plan. It's part of your job description, right? The way I've described it is as business people. And that is just go to church, right? Just think of it as a church. Everyone congregates together and then they split off into their groups. One-on-one occurs as needed. And literally, if you think of it that way, and as a business person, pull your people together, you know, do what you're going to do, and then split them into their groups based on departments or job descriptions or whatever, and then let them one-on-one help each other. This is the best plan of all, right? Good things happen when you stay connected. Bad things happen when you don't.
That's right. That's right? How you see what's coming, and you can pivot when you need to. And all I'll say is one of the gifts of this is the companies and the leaders that are acquiring these habits, right, or keeping them up. These habits will serve them even when the market comes back. Make them habits, right? This now becomes the game plan that you run. We're going to be a connected company. We're going to connect with our people. We're going to connect with our customers. And I guess to echo the early part, I'm going to run on a digital platform.
Yeah, I remember the old United Airlines commercial where the head of the company he's called everyone into a conference room. He says, well, you know, I got bad news today from our best customer and that they're going to be, you know, looking to make a change. And I realized that we just hadn't stayed connected. So then he passes out airline tickets to everybody and says, I want you to go see your best customer and get face to face with him. And at the end of his talk, someone says, sir, where are you going? And he pulls out an airline ticket. He says, I'm going to go see an old friend. And to me, that commercial is the connection commercial, right? It literally says, hey, we're in danger of losing business because we got disconnected. We're going to go back to the fundamental basics of business. And that is we're going to reconnect.
Love it.
Well, that's it. We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, be sure and click the subscribe button so new episodes will automatically be downloaded to your device. And help us reach a larger audience by leaving a review on your podcast player of choice. Next time on Think Like a CEO, we'll wrap up things by discussing the importance of being creative and competitive during a shift. This is where we firmly move from surviving to thriving, so don't miss it. If you've been enjoying Think Like a CEO, be sure and check out our sister podcast, Empire Building. Follow along as some of the most successful women in real estate dive into the challenges of building successful businesses and share their favorite strategies, insights, and wins.